Turn in your Bibles, because we're going to be preaching along that line this morning. It's a very familiar portion of God's Word, perhaps one of the most familiar. But the familiarity of it and the oft-repetition of it doesn't change it. It's still God's infallible Word, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. All right, let's sing the Bible. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Sing it one more time. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I feel like we ought to sing it one more time in just a moment. I'm grateful that God is moving by His Spirit in these last days. Ever God's power is still just as real as it ever was. It still takes faith in God to accomplish and to receive from God in this day in which we're living. Somebody reported about Brother Howard Knetzer last night. I didn't see the telecast. It's good that somebody will report to me, because that's the only way I seem to get the news. But anyway, they had taken him home. He was had a lot more strength than he did have. You know, just a few days ago, they opened him up, did exploratory surgery on him, said he had inoperable cancer, sewed him back up and gave him 30 days. Praise God. Well, that church in Dallas has been fasting. They've been praying. God is working a miracle. It doesn't make any difference what happens to Howard Knetzer. God's Word is still the same. Praise God. He'll still do what He said He would. Praise God. If there's any fault, if there's any failure, if there's any error, it's human and not divine. Hallelujah. He tells us in Mark 9:23 that all things are possible, and I believe that as we believe. Or if we can believe, we have something within us that governs what God does for us. It's according to the power that worketh in us. You may wonder sometimes, well, why does God heal this one and He doesn't heal another? I don't know how to explain a lot of things other than to say that God is still in the healing business. He still says what He means and means what He says, and He's still doing exactly what He said He'd do. Let's close our eyes, forget about everything, and let's sing it one more time. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. All things are possible, Lord, I believe. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, praise God. While our musicians continue to play, I feel God's Spirit hovering over us this morning. Why don't we just lift our hearts and our hands and our voices and just thank Him right out of the depths of your heart this morning. He's been good to you, or you wouldn't be here today. Let's give Him praise from the depths of our heart. Heavenly Father, we give praise and thanksgiving, Lord. Mighty God, in adoration unto Thee this day for Thy goodness. For Thy wonderful works, dear Jesus, unto the children of men. We magnify that name, God, that's above every name. Hallelujah.
abideth in thee this day. God, our soul delighteth in thee this day. We give praise, Lord, in thanksgiving, our God, in adoration unto thee. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Praise the Master. All right, I guess that'll be enough singing. Thank you very kindly. If you have your Bibles this morning, open to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We'll begin our reading at verse number 1. And if you have not as yet turned to Hebrews 11, verse 1 beginning, I would like to call your attention to a statement that is made in the 138th division of the Psalm in verse 1. David said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. He said, I will worship toward thy holy temple or thy tabernacle and praise thee for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word above all of thy name. To magnify something, it means to hold it in greater respect or esteem. So what David actually said is that God holds His Word in greater respect or esteem than He does all His name. I'm grateful, neighbor, for the Word of God today, the magnified truths of God's divine Word. They're going to stand when the world's on fire and darkness veils the sun. They're going to stand, neighbor, when everything else has faded and fallen into oblivion. Thank God for God's Word today. All right, in Hebrews 11, verse 1 beginning. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, or by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are made, or things which are made, or seen, were not made of the things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, for God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to talk to you this morning. That's as far as I'm going to read. There are 40 verses in that 11th chapter, and they're all given to this one thing, and that is faith. I'd like to talk to you this morning from the thought or from the subject of the varied aspects of faith. Now, there's a lot been said about faith. A lot of books have been written. A lot of sermons have been preached. And a lot of things have been said about faith. And I'm persuaded, neighbor, that all of it is well and good and how we need it in this hour. For the Bible lets us know that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But I'd like to preface these few remarks this morning by saying, first of all, that faith is simple in that all Christians, every child of God, has it. Faith is also necessary in that in all of the bases of our relationship with God, faith figures in. Faith is magnificent in that it can accomplish all things. For all things are possible if we can believe. I want to talk to you now for the next few minutes, as the Lord will enable us, from the thought or subject of the various aspects of faith. First of all, I believe we must have faith in the purposes of God. For God has a purpose, neighbor, in everything that is done. I believe we must have faith in the purpose of God. We must have faith in the presence of God. We must have faith in the power of God. We must have faith in the promises of God. These are just some of the aspects of faith in God. First of all, I should like to suggest unto you that we must have faith in the purpose of God. May I say this morning, neighbor, that God has a purpose in everything that is done. There may be a question in your mind, well, why am I here on planet Earth? Why am I living here on planet Earth? Neighbor, I'm persuaded that God had a purpose in mankind being here on planet Earth. Well, the Bible declares in Isaiah chapter number 43 and verse number 7, the Bible tells us that He created us to the praise of His glory. That's the reason that we're here, created in the likeness and in the image of God. We are created to the praise of His glory. Hallelujah! God had a purpose in mankind being here on planet Earth. And another thing about the purpose of God, we know that He doeth all things well. One more time. And I don't know why this 8th chapter of Romans in the 28th verse has come before us so many times here of late, but I believe it's in the purpose of God. This is perhaps one of the hardest verses in your Bible to appropriate to your life as you travel along the journey. That is to everything that happens to you as a Christian. And you know it, I'm sure, by now. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to conform to the image of His Son. Neighbor, I am persuaded that God has a purpose for you as a child of God. And He doeth all things well. And everything that happens to you as a child of God, neighbor, God has a purpose in it happening. The Bible tells us so, that it works together for good if you love God and you're called according to His purpose. And it is also the Father's purpose to give unto us the kingdom. For the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 32, these are words of life that fell from lips of love. Jesus Himself said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom." God wants you to have it today, neighbor. He's given us the kingdom, and it's His good pleasure to do so. This is one of the purposes of God, and that is to give unto us the kingdom. And it is God's ultimate purpose, and listen to this, that we be like Him. I think that's the main purpose in it all. Everything that happens, Romans 8:28, if you'll put verse 29 with it, because whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to conform to the image of His Son. Everything that happens to us, neighbor, as we travel along this voyage of life, I believe it's designed to make us a little bit more like Jesus. Hallelujah! As the days come and go. And if it takes the storms, if it takes the trials, if it takes the testings of life to make us a little more like Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us that He learned, even Jesus Himself, learned obedience by the things that He suffered. And if He were a son, and He learned obedience by the things He suffered, I'm persuaded that if we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to have to suffer a little bit as we travel along the journey. But He said, if you suffer with me, you shall also reign with me. He wants us to be more like Him. as the days come and go. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2, here's what the book said. It said, "Beloved, now, right at this very moment, are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Hallelujah! That's the ultimate design, neighbor, and that is to become just a little bit more like Jesus as the days come and go. I heard someone say one time, I don't know how true it is. In some measures and respects, I hope it's not true. But they say that people live together for so long, they begin to favor one another. Couple that's been married for years, they've lived together for many years, they begin to favor each other. I don't know if that's true in the natural realm or not, but I believe it's true in the spiritual realm. If you walk with Jesus, neighbor, you're going to be a little bit more like him. Hallelujah! As the days come and go, we're going to be a little bit more like him. I believe that's the reason that Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 was called to take that only son whom he had waited for a quarter of a century for the promises of God to be fulfilled. God said, "Take him yonder to the summits of Mount Moriah, or to the place that I will show thee, and offer him as a burnt offering unto God." And neighbor, Abraham did exactly what God asked him to do. You know that story well. Why would God ask Abraham, that man of faith that he was, to do what he did? I believe he did it, neighbor, because he wanted Abraham to be just a little bit more like the Master as he traveled along the voyage of life. Why did Joseph have to be sold down in Egypt and all of the indignities that happened to him, that happened to this young man, Joseph? I believe it happened, neighbor, to make him a little bit better Christian, to make him a little more like the Master. God had a purpose in it all. And neighbor, we need to have faith in the purpose of God. Lord, whatever your purpose is, I have faith that you're going to work it out for your glory, and your purpose is going to be accomplished. May I go on to suggest we must have faith in the presence of God. For the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Neighbor, that's a great promise. And a lot of times we have to fall back on that promise because we can't go by feeling. We cannot go by our emotions. We cannot go by environment. We must simply go on faith that he said, "I'll never," hallelujah, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." But he said, "I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end." In Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20, there's an old familiar verse of Scripture there. When Jesus sent the disciples to teach all nations and baptize them, he said in verse 20, "And lo, I'm with you always." Brother Bates used that as his Scripture about being scriptural for not flying in the airplane. He didn't like to fly. He said, the Bible said, "Lo, I'm with you." Hallelujah. He didn't like to get up there where it was high. But he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end." If you would read that in the Amplified translation, you would get words comparable to this. "In all the ways in which you will be called to walk, I will walk with you." I don't care in what way God calls you to walk. He's going to call us all to walk in different ways. God has a way for you to walk. He has a will for your life. But you bear in mind, neighbor, that in all of the ways that God calls you to walk, he's going to walk with you. Hallelujah! He'll be right there to walk with you every step of the journey. And here's a scripture that thrills my soul. And I've preached a lot along this line lately, and I don't know why. But God knows why, and that's his business, not mine. But invariably I've had people to come around and say, Brother Farmer, that was just for me. But I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 48, and we want to look at verse number 10. Isaiah chapter number 48 and verse number 10. First of all, he said, I have refined thee, but not with silver. Now, if you would read that in the Amplified Translation, it reads, I have refined thee, but not as silver. You're not refined like silver is refined. The child of God is not refined. And neighbor, I believe every one of us must go through that refining process. You know what it means to be refined? That means all the foreign substance will be taken out. All of the alloy will be taken out. All the sludge and the dross, everything that's unlike the Master is going to be refined from our lives. But he said, I have refined you, but not with silver in the latter cloth. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. He didn't say he chose them before they went in the furnace. He didn't choose them out after they came out. But he said, I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction. That means, neighbor, when you walk into the furnace of affliction, that fourth man is going to walk into that furnace, hallelujah, with you, just like he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the long ago. When they cast those fellows in, the Bible declares that there were four men that were walking in the midst of that raging inferno. And the old king looked in and he said, did not we cast in three men that were bound? He said, I see four, and they're all loose, and they're walking. And he said, the looks of that fourth one is like unto the Son of God. Hallelujah. He said, I've chosen you, neighbor, in the furnace of affliction. I can't help but believe that I'm talking to people this morning, right here in this congregation. You've been walking in the furnace of affliction. In the furnace of affliction. Of all of the things that's happened. Of all of the vicissitudes of life that have come your way. Maybe you think there's no end. Maybe you think it's like bananas that comes in bunches. Like Job on the heels of one messenger, there seems to come another. You feel like I'm in the furnace today. I'm walking in the furnace of affliction. Well, neighbor, I want you to know that there's one that's chosen you right there in the furnace. Hallelujah! He's chosen to walk in that furnace with you. You may not see him with your visible eye, but through the eye of faith, we can see his presence, neighbor. We have faith in his presence. He said, I'll never leave thee. And though the storms may blow and the winds may come against us and all of the powers of hell sometime may seem to be unleashed upon us, I'm grateful to God that he will never let go of our hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel him here this morning, neighbor. Hallelujah. Now, I don't care what you're going through. You say, Brother Farmer, you better hold it there because it'll hit you. Well, it may do it. It may hit, but I want you to know this one day that he's going to be right there when it does. I like that story in Mark 4:35. Verse number 37, a great storm of wind arose and the waves beat into the ship. It happens, neighbor, to every one of us as we travel along the journey. But in verse 39, it said, he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And there was a great calm. The wind ceased. There was a great calm. It happens that way every time, neighbor. Just as sure as the storm arises, just as sure as you walk into that furnace,
He's going to walk right in with you. Because he said, I'll never leave. Hallelujah. And I'll never forsake you. You ought to be happy this morning, neighbor, that God has enough confidence in you to let you get in that furnace in the first place. Hallelujah. He said, I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction. The Bible said in the 34th Psalm, the 19th Psalm, verse 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Let me ask you a question up until right now. But have you ever had an affliction that he didn't deliver you out of? Have you ever had one? You hear this morning is a New Testament, neighbor. You may have had a lot of afflictions in bygone days, but the Lord is delivered out of every one of them. And I'll guarantee, on the authority of this book, he'll deliver you from the next, and the next, and the next. Hallelujah.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now, I do not understand some things that happen,
but there's one thing I know. Jesus is there. God's there. And I can't promise you that you're going to understand everything that happens.
I cannot promise you that you'll understand why it's happening. But I can promise you, and I'm not a bit afraid to promise,
that he's going to be there.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I don't care what happens, neighbor, he's going to be there. In sorrow, he's going to be there. In pain, he's going to be there. In reverses, he's going to be there. In storms, he's there. Hallelujah. We need to learn what those mariners learn in Mark chapter 4, that neither the storm-tossed sea, nor demons, nor men, nor whatever shall be, can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. All must quickly obey his will. Peace be still.
Hallelujah. You're not in a thing this morning, neighbor, that you're not going to get at. Say, brother, farmer, how blunt. Well, it's just as blunt as I can say. You can't get in anything, or the Lord's not going to let you go through anything that he's not going to get at. Hallelujah. So I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. We'll just leave it to him. He'll get you out. Because you see, he's already doing it. He was tempted in all points, I forget, yet without sin.
Now we can't say that about God. He's not tempted. You can't tempt God, but Jesus was a man. Our high priest was tempted just like we are. In James chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible said, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. But God cannot be tempted with evil. God cannot be tempted. But you see, Jesus became a man. And when he became a man, he could be tempted. And he was tempted. You say, Brother Farmer, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe what this book says, do you? Because in Hebrews chapter 4, in about verse number 15, it said, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, which was in all points tempted. He was tempted in every way that you're tempted, but he didn't sin. Thank God. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on here. My time's just about gone. But we need to have faith in the power of God. Not only in the purpose of God and in the presence of God, but say, neighbor, we need to have faith in the power of God. The Bible said in the 62nd Psalm in verse 11, God has spoken once, yea, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. He said, I'd heard this before and I heard it again. Power belongeth to God. God has spoken, twice have I heard this.
power belongeth to God. Again in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, I have it. I possess it. And he said to those disciples, I want you to go and teach all nations, intimating to them and to us that he was going to give us that power. Hallelujah. He's going to give us that power that we can do the things that he'd have us to do. He's able, neighbor, to do everything that's necessary. I want you to believe that today. He's able to do anything that's necessary for us. If there's something that's really necessary, I believe that he's able to do that which is necessary. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that old familiar verse of Scripture, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That little word, think, can be translated imagine. And it would read like this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. Neighbor, God's asking us to let our imagination turn loose. Just begin to imagine. Let your imagination run away with itself. And neighbor, he's able, hallelujah, to do that which we can imagine. If you got a big imagination, you got a big God that's bigger than that. Because he does exceeding abundantly above all that we imagine or that we think, ask or think. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Have faith in his power. Just let your imagination loose. You say, Brother Fremer, I can't get this to correspond with the way I'm thinking up here. That has nothing to do with faith, neighbor. You can let your thinking tear down your faith in God. But just turn that imagination loose. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all that we ask or think or imagine. All right, I have about 4 minutes to tell you that we must have faith in the promises of God. Faith in the purposes of God, faith in the presence of God, faith in his power, but we must also have faith in his promise. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible said, he hath given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now these promises, neighbor, cover all of the needs of our life. I believe those exceeding great and precious promises cover every need that you could ever encounter as you travel along the journey. Do you believe that? Those promises. Philippians 4:19, Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Neighbor, we need to have faith in the promises of God. The Bible said we have not simply because we ask not. And he said when we ask amiss, that we might consume it upon our own fleshly lust. But I believe we have not because we ask not. And he said for us to ask gloriously. Of the Lord. We have the promises of God, neighbor, that covers every need to our lives. There in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible said, his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Does he mean what he said? Did he not say that his power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness? Now, neighbor, these scriptures pertain, these promises pertain to salvation, because the Bible said in Romans 10 and verse 8, this is the word of faith which we have preached unto you, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
This pertains also to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and anything else that you need and can receive from God, neighbor. These promises are just as sure as the Christ who gave them. For the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, and I'm closing with this, in chapter 1 and verse 20, for all of the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, under the glory of God by us. All of the promises of God in Him are yea, and all of the promises are amen. That means they're yes, and so be it. Hallelujah. They're ours today, neighbor. We need to have faith in the purpose of God. God has a purpose in whatever's happening in your life. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, doing your best to walk with Him. I'd like for a musician, maybe they're already gone, to come back. Everything that happens, neighbor, is happening in a divine purpose. We need to have faith in the purpose of God. Lord, I know that You have a purpose in this, and You're going to bring it out to Your glory. Hallelujah, and to my good. We can have faith in the presence of God. We can have faith in the power of God that He can do anything we need Him to do. Then we can have faith in the promises of God, neighbor, because every promise is yes in Him, and it's amen, or amen, or so be it. Hallelujah. I want us this morning just to simply do what Jesus said when He cursed that tree that fig tree. That's the only thing Jesus ever cursed. That fig tree by the wayside that bare no fig. That's the only thing that I can find in God's Word that Jesus cursed. He cursed that tree. I believe there's a reason for it, but I don't have time to go into detail. You can connect it to those fig leaves that Adam and Eve sewed together. How to make them a cover for their shame in the long ago. That's the only thing Jesus cursed. But when He cursed that tree that day, and that they came back a little later, and it was dried up the moon, Jesus said to those disciples that they marveled about it, have faith in God. Or have the faith of God. That's what God wants us to do, neighbor. A lot of times our faith varies as the circumstances vary. Our faith oscillates as the problems arise and fall. But that has nothing to do, or should have nothing to do, because we work by faith and not by sight. Faith has nothing to do with what it sees. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's evidence of things not seen. Faith doesn't have one thing to do with what it sees. You say, Brother Thornton, I don't see how this thing's going to come out. I don't see how it's going to work out. Forgive us how you see. It's not how you see. Faith doesn't deal with sight. It deals with the promises of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's evidence of things not seen. I don't see how something, just looking at it from the natural, I don't see how this is going to work out. But let me tell you something, neighbor. When you look through the eyes of faith, it's all together different. Let us stand together right now. Hallelujah. I'd like you just to close your eyes, please. All across this aisle, before we move about. I wonder how many this morning, you've been going through a battle. You've been facing some struggles and storms. There are real needs today existed in your life, and you know it. You just slip up a hand here in the closing moments of this service today and say, Brother Father, I believe that God's going to take me through this. I've had some battles, and I've had some trials, and I've had some heart-rending experiences. And I need help, and I need this people to stand with me. Would you slip up a hand right now, would you? All across the audience, hands by the numbers. heavenly King. Right now, let's just blend our voices and our hearts together and let's believe God. That God's going to minister. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you've been through. And He's right there with you. He's chosen you in the furnace of affliction. Let's agree together that when some walk out of the confines of this building this morning, they're going to walk out with faith in God. Lord, I believe it's going to be all right. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we feel thy nearness, God. We know that you're here now to minister. God, by faith in the promises of God, by faith in the presence of God, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. God, I believe right now, God, you're ministering to the needs of lives in this place. God, I believe you now to minister to the souls of men and women. God, you see these this morning that have faced the battles, that have faced the trials, that have faced the storms. Right now, God, in the name of Jesus, faith is going to take hold. They're going to walk with you, Lord, and believe for them. God, touch every heart. Touch every soul today, God, in this building. When we leave, may we leave with a renewed faith and a renewed confidence in God. Hello. God, we thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Living by faith and I feel moving on. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. Some have been praying this week. You lifted your hand last Sunday. You were going to pray this week. I'd like to ask you to get along somewhere this afternoon and pray much for the service tonight. Let's come back at 7 o'clock believing God for a great move. You're dismissed. Shake hands. Be friendly. Before you walk out, shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're happy to have them today. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. He that would have friends must show himself friendly.